some beautiful songs this morning to celebrate the Lord, to celebrate our freedoms in America. Thank you for coming this morning. I hope you've had a good day. We have. We've had a good day already in worshiping with the earlier service, and we're glad to see you with us today. Let's pray before we go any further. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you for this occasion that we have this morning to worship you. But thank you, too, for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. Thank you, Lord, for this celebration of our 245th birthday of enjoying our freedoms. Thank you, Father, for your great blessings and mercies upon us as a nation. Thank you for leading us. We would pray, O God, that you would continue to lead us in spite of occasions we have to be independent from you. We would ask that you would continue to lead us by your Spirit in your ways. We do pray, Father, this morning for all those names on the prayer focus and ask that you would be with each and every situation. Thank you for walking with these, our loved ones, through many a storm and many a difficulty. Please continue to be with those that are hurting now. We do pray, too, for those that wanted to be with us and couldn't for various reasons. We ask that you would watch over them. We pray that you would keep those safe on the highways today and tomorrow. And we just pray that people would have a good day of celebrating, but also take time to worship you. Thank you for all that have come again to our second service. I just pray that your Spirit would lead us and guide us as we continue to worship you. May we hear from your Spirit. May we be enlightened, encouraged, and challenged from your word today. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Most of you know that just a couple, 3 weeks ago, I started this particular journey in Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 1. And as I continue to read Romans chapter 1, and then you couple that with the idea that today is the 4th of July, I just felt I wanted to go back to Romans chapter 1 today. Why? Well, because we're celebrating our 245th birthday in America, but because of the seriousness of this condition that Paul describes in Romans chapter 1, we saw this phrase a couple, 3 weeks ago, but I want us to see it again today and just absorb it and think it through a little bit, this phrase, God giving them up. I know we already looked at Romans chapter 1 a little bit, and like I said to the earlier service, perhaps too briefly, that's my fault, but perhaps too briefly we looked at some of this, and so I want to take a closer look today. So if you've got your Bible, we're in Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to be just a bit unorthodox here because we've already looked at 1:18 through 29. So I'm going to start with reminding us what we saw and revisiting some of these verses to establish the tone here this morning about the seriousness of God giving up a nation. So in Romans 1:24, we saw this first phrase, God gave them up to uncleanness. Some of your Bibles will say impurity. He's talking there about sexual impurities, about sexual immoralities, sexual encounters of all manner of kinds outside the boundaries of marriage of one man and one woman. That's the uncleanness and the impurity he's talking about. How do we know? Look at what he says next. He said, God gave them up to uncleanness to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And then he builds on that a little bit more when he elaborates a little more when he says, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Do you see what he's saying there, friends? No, you want me to elaborate? Here's what he's saying. God has a design for sexuality. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When we venture outside of that design, we then fall into the category of worshiping the creature rather than the creator and listening to the lies that the creature is telling us. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? That's why he says here, God gave them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their bodies, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. When we listen to the voice of the adversary, even as Eve did it in the Garden of Eden, he's whispering to you, to I, it's not that bad. Go ahead and venture out on that limb. After all, the whole world is doing it. After all, perhaps it's even been legalized. We're listening, Paul says, to the lie of the creature, and we're worshiping when we fall into that lie, the creature rather than the creator. That's what he's saying when we find ourselves in that arena. Verse 26, he gives us an example, and he uses the phrase again, God gave them. This time he says to vile passions, even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. And verse 28, he says it the third time. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Three times the Bible says here, God gave them up. God gave them over. Do you see what the Apostle Paul wrote there too in that verse 28 when he said, and even as they did not retain God in their knowledge? If you were here with us a couple of weeks ago, or you happen to know this chapter quite well, you will know that Paul has already talked about retaining God in our knowledge. Here's what he said in verse 18. Now, I know I'm jumping backwards, but I did this for a reason. He's already spoken about they did not retain God in their knowledge. And so we see in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed. That's how he started this whole conversation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Here's what he says. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Remember, we talked about that a little bit. God has made evidence to us of his in his creation of his evidence. And so God, Paul says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And then he says later in that verse, so they are without excuse. So what Paul is saying here, the evidences of God are all around us. And he's saying here that we don't have any excuse. We can make excuses. Well, I don't know God. I don't believe in God. I don't know what he's about. But he said, really, his invisible attributes are so clearly seen that they are without excuse. And then he says this is what I wanted to get to, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Here's, Here's what he's saying. And I can say this, I believe, is applicable for America today. He is saying they knew about God. There's evidences everywhere. His invisible attributes are everywhere, so that we are without excuse to say, I don't know about God. They knew about God, Paul says, and yet in 28, that's in 21, then in 28 he said, but they did not retain God. Are you following with me this morning, friends? America is in exactly the same place. We were founded on godly principles a long time ago. There was a time in our history when the Bible was read to our children in the classroom. There was a time in our history when we started our classes with prayer. Some of you aren't old enough to know that, but in 1962 and 1963, the Supreme Court of the United States said, that's unconstitutional. That's a long story, and I'm not going to go there now, but I will tell you this. If you do the history, 8 of those 9 Supreme Court justices that made those decisions were not judges. They were appointed politicians. There was one judge on the bench at that time. And so we called it unconstitutional, and we took God out of the classroom. We contrived this idea of needing to have a separation between church and state. That happened in 1962 and 1963. My point is this. We have known God in America. From our founding fathers up until the last 50, 60, 70 years, we have known God in America. As Paul describes here in the verses in the letter to the Romans, they knew God. And a few short verses later, we get to the point, but they did not retain God. They knew about him. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. We are without excuse not to know about him, but we did not retain God. That's what he's saying. I think the application for us today is noteworthy. Just the other day, one of my brothers that's here this morning sent me a sermon from Pastor Jack Hibbs. He happened to be speaking about the same thing, Romans chapter 1. And as I listened to Pastor Jack on Romans chapter 1, I'd encourage you, if you've got time, look up Pastor Jack Hibbs and look up that sermon from last week on Romans 1. It's very, very good. But I appreciated the explanation that he gave on the phrase, God gave them up. And I can't say it verbatim, but I can paraphrase what he said. Pastor Jack said this in his illustration. When we are drawn away by our own lusts, and that's what James says, that's how sin happens. We're drawn away by our own lusts. And Pastor Jack said, when that happens, God will put something in the way. A person, a scripture verse, he will make that attempt to enlighten us and say, you really don't want to go there. But we take that step down anyway, away from God and his word, knowing full well that in our conscience, probably from the Holy Spirit, he said, I wouldn't advise that. A little while later, we're perhaps tempted by the same thing, and Pastor Jack said, in our lust for our worshiping self and our lust of our own desires, we know what God's word said, we know about God, but we take another step away from God anyway. And as we continue to step away from God and his word, God will continue to remind us, even when I'm stepping away from his word, he will continue to put things in my mind, people in my path, and remind us, you really don't want to go there. But as we continue to step away further and further from the word of God, that voice gets very quiet. And pretty quick, we've stepped far enough away from that word that we don't hear the voice anymore. That's what Pastor Jack described when he said that condition of God gives them up. We have stepped away long enough. The warnings have been there long enough, but we've continued to do our own thing long enough that we don't hear that voice anymore. And it comes to that point when we get to these three phrases that the Apostle Paul reminds us, and God gives them up to their own debased mind. God was saying all along, I'm trying to warn you, I've got a better way for you, but I'm not going to force you, and we keep stepping further and further away from his word, and pretty quick it becomes easy, and pretty quick we're clear over here doing our own thing completely with no thought of God in mind, and at that point he turns us over because we're not listening anyway. That was Pastor Jack's illustration. I thought it was very accurate and wanted to share with you today because it's a very, very serious place to be. As an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation, it's a very serious place to be when God turns us over. And there's so many things I want to say about this, and I didn't say some of this morning in the earlier service, but people would say, well, when God has turned you over, what's your spiritual destination? Where are you going to end up? All I can say is this, friends. The Bible says without holiness in the book of Hebrews, no one will see God. You still with me? Without holiness, no one will see God. So if I'm living for myself, if I'm doing my own thing, if I've stepped away from God so far that I don't hear his voice anymore and he has turned, I'm probably not very holy. And the Bible says without holiness, no one will see God. And the Bible says the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:21, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So to be turned over to our own debased mind, I don't know, I'm not going to speculate about anybody's eternal security or the lack thereof, but if we've been turned over to our own debased mind, it's a very dangerous place to be because we're doing our own thing. People ask Pastor Jack and people ask other pastors, what about America? Has God given us up? There's a difference between has God given up on us, which I believe God's grace is available, versus has God given us up to our own debased mind? And really, God can only answer that. But when I look at the conditions of America and I consider what's going on around us, let me answer that question. Has God given us up? Let me answer it this way. Since 1973 in America, we have murdered 60 million babies in the womb. We have blood on our hands. The Bible talks about the innocents. It talks about the blood of the innocents. And when I think of that Holocaust of the unborn, that's a tragedy. But this last few years, we have taken that tragedy to a new level. We have seen, if you've watched the 6 o'clock news or watched news on computer, we have seen the celebration of being able to terminate the baby up until birth. We have seen high fives and cheering. We have seen the celebration of shedding the blood of the innocents. We have seen the celebration on the streets of America celebrating, and we call it freedom to choose, and we call it women's health. But I see that, and I believe God sees it as blood on our hands. We're guilty. And I believe the blood of 60 million unborn is flowing down the streets of America today. And I believe we will be held accountable. Now, I want to say this, too, about that, because I visited with those that have been in that arena. I have visited with ladies that have been there. I've been visited with families that have been in that arena. And I'm not demeaning anyone who has ended up in that arena. There's forgiveness and there's hope in Jesus. But I am saying this, as a nation, we've got a lot of blood on our hands. When I consider some of there's so many things we could talk about. Back in the 1950s, with Hugh Hefner and a couple of others, we decided to legalize pornography, and we called it freedom of expression. And we could argue all day long, well, that's just innocent. There's no harm there, Jim. And I could tell you stories, because I've read the accounts, where we have gone inside the prisons of America over the last 20 years and interviewed some of the most violent rapists and murderers, mass murderers, serial murderers that our history has ever seen, and every one of them started with pornography, every one of them. So we can say it's innocent all day long if we want to, but we're guilty. And if that isn't enough, we're now seeing children disappear off the streets, some of them into sex slavery. Sex slavery is a very real, very ugly difficulty that we're wrestling with in America right now. But in addition to that phenomenon of literally stealing children off the streets and forcing them into sex slavery, some of that is videotaped and some of that is posted online. I could talk about statistics all day long about pornography in America and the world, the money, the depravity, but here's my point. We are now stealing children off streets, or in some cases, addicts farming out their children to these things so they can be sexually abused and videotaped, and it's sold on the internet. It's sold en masse. There's hundreds of millions of dollars made on it. And we would say, what in the world? Why is that happening? Because people have an appetite for that. I'm simply talking about our depravity. We have reached new levels of depravity. And so when we ask, has God turned us over? And I think of these kinds of things, or dozens more, I'm thinking it doesn't look very good, doesn't bode very well for the condition of America when we got these kind of things happening. We've legalized You won't want to hear this, but we've legalized drunkenness. About 100,000 people die a year because of alcohol-related deaths. You say, Jim, it's harmless, it's innocent. It wasn't to them 100,000. We hear the addicts that stand up here every year, they've been doing it for 10 years, coming to talk to us about how they started. Started with one little old drink. 100,000 deaths a year from alcohol-related deaths. The statistics will tell us that's the third greatest preventable death in America. We've legalized drunkenness. We've said it's okay. Even a year ago, year and a half, when we closed the church, we closed the restaurants, we closed the gyms, we closed the schools, the off sales were not closed. We've legalized these things and call it good. Or we could talk about legalizing sexual sin. And I know we don't like to talk about that either, but God's word talks about worshiping the creature versus worshiping the creator. We just looked at it. And we have legalized sin. 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges, and we decided and celebrated freedom to love and marry whoever we want was good, even though God's word says otherwise. Today, in our schools, not all of them, but in our schools, I've seen the curriculum, I've heard from some of the administrators, we celebrate and we push the idea of transgenderism. Now, I don't want to be too negative about that. I want to say that there's a lot of struggles in these people, and I understand we need to be there to help them, not condemn. I get that. But we're pushing that idea. Just because you were born male doesn't mean you got to stay male. You could become female. We're pushing that agenda. And the Bible says God created male and he created female. He created them in the image of God as male and as female. But in our wisdom in the 21st century in America, we said, no, you got it all wrong, God. Well, there's actually a few more. Are you still hearing me this morning, friends? There are actually movements in America right now that would take the sex line off of the birth certificate, because we're so bright now, we're so enlightened now, that we don't want to determine their sex at birth like we've been doing for 6,000 years. We want to say they probably will decide that sometime later. So we won't assign to them they're a male or a female at birth. We're having that conversation in America right now. And so when somebody asks me, has God turned us over to our own debased mind, I simply ask, what would you do with us when we're in that kind of situation? I don't like to speak ill about any other clergy, and I'm not, that's not my intent, but you can't turn on a Christian magazine. I look at Christian Post, and I look at World Magazine, I look at Decision, Vine of the Branches, I look at a bunch of different Christian magazines, and you can't pick one up today without seeing a headline that says, this denomination now has a transgender bishop. You can't pick up one of them magazines and not see them headlines. And we wonder, has God turned us over to our own debased mind? There's a lot more I could give examples of, but I'm not going to, because I want us to celebrate communion. One of my brothers, one of our brothers, that was here in the earlier service, he happens to be an LMC for us. He happens to be working towards ordination. He happens to have been in the world of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, so he could verify that if you were here in this service. He was in the earlier one. We've legalized marijuana in 16 states and 30-some states for medicinal purposes, for medical purposes. And I'm not arguing about that. I'm just going to say this. When you listen to those men that have stood here for 10 years, and you listen to that brother that sat right here this morning, and I get to do chapel in Teen Challenge quite often, and I'm thankful for that. But when you listen to them and you talk to them and you hear their stories, and we've heard them because they've stood right here and they've been telling us for 10 years, their addictions to cocaine and methamphetamines and heroin and all that stuff, it all started with marijuana. It's an entrance drug into something different. Every one of them has told us that. And so when someone asks me, has God given up America? I'm saying the condition of America is not looking good. I said I was going to quit, but I want to give you one more because it's so relevant today. We lie. In America, in the highest levels, in the highest echelons of government, I never asked Charles about the military, but in the government, in the business world, in the church, we lie, and nobody keeps nobody accountable. Are you still hearing me? I'm talking about lying. We tell garbage. We tell falsehood. We make up stuff. We lie at a whim, and nobody keeps anybody accountable. You know what the Bible says about that? One of the Ten Commandments addresses it. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbors. And it's addressed from the very beginning of the Bible, from the very end, in Revelation 21:8. Here's what the Bible says about it. But the cowards, the unbelievers, the vile, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I don't know about you, friends, but I think God takes lying fairly seriously. But anymore in America, we don't pay any attention to it. This is what I'm talking about when I say, when somebody asks me the question, this is how I answer it. I don't know if God has given us up as a nation. I think we've been turned over as a nation. Is God still at work? Yes, he is. I led a young man to the Lord this week. I praise God for that. People are coming to Christ. I pray for revival every day. I pray for this community's salvation every day. And I know God is still on his throne, and I know God has not changed. And I know not, God is not willing that any should perish. But as a nation, we have turned our back on him, and I fear he has turned us over to our own debased mind, because it appears we would rather, even though we have known God, we have not retained God, it appears we would rather worship the creature and his lies than serve and worship the Creator. That's what it appears. And so let me conclude with this before we go to communion. Today in America, we celebrate 245 years of independence and freedoms. I praise God I get to live in America. I really do. I love this nation. I love the freedoms that I've had myself personally. But in our freedoms, because we have been blessed by God and we have had these wonderful freedoms, I fear we have abandoned God as a nation. We have abandoned His word. We've abandoned His directives. He's turned us over as a nation to our own debased mind. And so I would suggest to us today, on the 25th birthday of this nation, may we repent as people of God. May we repent of our sins and turn to Him like we have never turned to Him before. And if you're here this morning, friends, and you're not even sure how your walk with Jesus is, if it's right, wrong, or indifferent, let me just say this. God is a God of love. He has given us His Son to die on that cross. We're going to celebrate that with our communion in just a moment. But we can't go through life worshiping the creature and our own desires and expect all to be well on Judgment Day. God is a God of love. But judgment will come. We must repent of our sin. We must turn to Christ, the one who died for us. We must embrace Him as Lord. We must be willing to deny ourselves to follow Him. Jesus called it, you must be born again. And so if you're here today and you're not sure about that, in the quiet of your heart, will you simply say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me turn from the past. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and take control. By faith, friends, by faith, we need to turn to the resurrected Christ, denying ourselves, being willing to follow Him. That's what He's asking us. Start worshiping the Creator God rather than the creature. And so if you're here today and you're not sure, in the quiet of your heart, you get right with God by faith today. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. You can't work your way there. You can't be good enough. None of us are good. It's a gift of God. So with your faith and God's grace, that combination, we are saved. And so if you're not even sure about that, you talk to Charles or myself. We'll help you with that. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. The rest of us that have known Christ and know what the Word of God says about being turned over, may we repent on behalf of us, our families, our church, our nation, whatever else, and seek the face of God like never before for this nation. I don't like the idea about being turned over. I don't know about you. I don't like the idea of that at all because I don't like the outcome. I don't like the idea of our nation having been turned over to our own debased mind. But what I see, it looks like we've been turned over. We've got a lot of sin. We've got a lot of celebration about sin. And I just want to say this before we take the cup. I just want to say Jesus has died for all those sins. Whatever we're caught up in. I just spoke about lying. But in the last verse of Romans 1, you can see all kinds of things like gossip and backbiting and sexually immoral and addicts and thieves and idolaters and pride and covetous and all that stuff. I just want to say the blood of Jesus has paid the price for all of that. But we've got to turn to Him. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to turn to Him. He is a God of love. He wants us to come to Him by faith. He wants us to walk with Him, and He wants us to put us on that new path, away from the old sin, away from the old gym, away from the old addiction, whatever it was. He wants us to put us on a new creation walk with Him. That's a faith thing. That's a surrendering of our lives to Him thing. If you've never done that, please do it.
Loving Father, righteous God, we thank You for Your love for us. to show us the living way to please you, to be your ambassadors to this world. Help us, Father, as we leave and to our mission field for this week, as we go about our celebrations this afternoon and into this evening, that we will remember that we are your representatives, that your Spirit dwells within us, and that our actions do indeed speak louder than words. Help us, Father, to truly reach out to our neighbors and to those around us who still need that liberating freedom that only you can provide through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Help us to go this day in your presence as your representatives, as your ambassadors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.